I'm Marco Werman, and you're with The World. We're a co-production of the BBC World Service, PRI, and WGBH here in Boston. Going in, being in, getting out. That's a cycle of incarceration, and it's what our Across Women's Lives team has been investigating. The rate of women going into prison in the U.S. is rising. It's a trend that's happening around the globe. But once they get out, then what? This week, we've been looking at what it takes to stay out of prison. Andrea Crossan heads our Across Women's Lives project and joins me now. It's multiple challenges facing women when it comes to staying out, isn't it?
There are so many things that are stacked against women when they're coming out of the doors of a prison. And there is this kind of this window of time where it's so crucial that they get support because they are the most vulnerable. What we found in our reporting is that it's really common for women to be going into prison specifically for addiction issues. So whether that be drug dealing, whether that be shoplifting to support a habit. So what you also have to realize is that when they're coming out, they still have to deal with the addiction.
Isn't this a problem, though, for both men and women?
Yes and no. Yes, there are men who are facing a lot of these similar challenges. But what's different about women is that for so many of them, the living environment that they had before they went into prison, they call it an insecure environment. What do you do with these women who they're coming out the door and their option is either to move back in with the person who was abusive, somebody they potentially did drugs with, somebody they potentially committed crimes with, or be homeless?
So the story we're going to hear today is you met a woman who's working to help other women during this challenging period.
Yeah, I met this woman, Mo Korchinski. Let me say right off the bat that Mo is a tough cookie. She is an incredible, incredible force of nature. And I spent a day driving around Vancouver, British Columbia, which is my hometown. And Mo's what's called a peer mentor. And that's just kind of a fancy way of saying that she's been there, done that. At a very low point in Mo's life, she was a regular user of cocaine, and it led to selling cocaine.
So did Mo go to prison herself?
Many times.
Yeah.
She was in and out of the prison system in British Columbia for the better part of a decade. She spent most of her 30s in and out of prison. She's been through a lot, and you'll hear about her personal story, but she got her life on track. And now she devotes her life to helping other women in that situation.
So what kind of practical things does she do for these women just getting out?
Well, to start with, when you're released from prison, you're usually wearing the clothes that you were arrested in. So she goes to help them get new clothes. She'll make sure that they're not homeless. When I was with her, she would get calls throughout the day from women who are still inside who wanted to have her come and meet them.
Andrea Crossan, thanks so much for the backstory. Let's now meet Mo Korchinski.
Hi. I'm just wondering about a ride to the Departure Bay Ferry on Sunday.
On Sunday the 25th?
Yeah.
Is there a reason why you can't take the public transportation? Because I'm not a taxi service, right? Like, we're a program?
Oh, okay. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
No problem. No, I'll take the bus.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye. A lot of them just want a ride quicker to get high and think that we're taxi services, but we're actually not a taxi service. We're a program. So
where was that woman?
The women's prison.
So she was calling you from prison to ask you for a lift?
Yes. Most of them are usually phoning looking for somewhere to go, because from our research, we found that 85% in our provincial prison are homeless upon release. They're coming out with, you know, very few belongings in a clear plastic bag and a bus ticket back to where they were arrested from, right? And so a lot of the women don't want to go back to that, but there's very few places for women to go when they get released. We had a problem with one of the taxi drivers. Taxis used to pick up the women from the prison, and they used to get I remember getting propositioned by a taxi driver, you know, hey, give me a job and I'll give you some dope, or I'll give you some money. And it actually happened to one of the girls. They actually propositioned her, gave her dope, and she OD'd and ended up in a coma. And so now the jail does not use the taxi service, because, you know, that was one of the most vulnerable times, is when you're picking them up from the jail. So actually now the jail actually has an officer who drives them up to the bus depot. No one wants to say, hey, I'm going to grow up and I'm going to be a drug addict and I'm going to be homeless on the street. I mean, there's a reason why somebody's numbing their whole feelings, because you don't have any feelings when, you know, you're totally numb when you're using. I remember when I first time I tried, and that was one thing what attracted me to the drugs was that it numbed all the hurt from my childhood abuse.
At what point did drugs become a key part of your life?
Drugs, well, my drug of choice was alcohol, and that was when I was 12 years old. And then I stayed as an alcoholic, you know, functioned, got married, had children as an alcoholic. And then the night my mom died of cancer, I picked up the cocaine, and it was like love at first sight. You know, I thought alcohol numbs your feelings, but no, cocaine is definitely numbs you.
How long was cocaine numbing you?
About 7 years, but as soon as I got into the cocaine, I ended up in jail, right? I sold cocaine to support my habit. I mean, you got to do something to support your habit. I mean, having a drug habit is not cheap. You know, that's how people end up going in jail. They're trying to support their drug habit. It's petty crimes or selling drugs or shoplifting, or it's all about trying to find, you know, a ways to support that drug habit. You know, I say if we deal with the addiction, we'll deal with the crime, and they won't end up back in jail. We don't look at the reason why somebody goes to jail. We just add more problems to people when they go to jail.
How many times were you incarcerated?
I was in and out for four fairly long sentences. I did a year, 11 months, 15 months, and then 18 months sentence. So I did a fairly long bit.
How old were your kids the first time you went in?
Before I went to jail, I already walked away from my children, and I left my kids with their fathers. I just never went back. And I always thought my kids were better off without me anyways. And I still say my children were better off with their fathers. They had loving fathers, grandparents, cousins, aunts, uncles. And being around a mother who didn't even know how to love herself, no longer loving another person, I still think they were better off. You know, everybody on the street is somebody's child or somebody's parent. The main thing what our peer mentors and our program can offer women coming out of prison is hope. Because everybody needs hope, everybody needs a purpose. It's part of who we are as human beings. If you don't have either, what do you have? You're just existing. And we can't just exist, we have to have a purpose.
It's been a long time since you were in prison, but you still see people, you still help people who were in when you were in.
Oh, definitely. I still see, you know, it's interesting because they'll call and I go, really? Aren't you sick of this lifestyle yet?
What did it for you?
For me was, you know, I turned 40 in jail, and, you know, I don't know if it was that milestone of turning 40, and, you know, my jail sentences were long, and I got to form relationships with the staff and, you know, recreational therapists. I had an amazing Aboriginal elder who loved us no matter what and was very non-judgmental. And so when it came to an opportunity for me to go to treatment, I didn't want to let them down. They believed so much in me. They seen good in me what no one's ever seen good in me before, and I just didn't want to let them down. And that's what I like to do with the women what I work with, is believe in them, because everybody needs somebody to believe in them.
Words of wisdom from Mo Korchinski, a peer mentor for women getting out of prison in Vancouver, Canada. She spoke with the world's Andrea Crossan for our series Unequal Justice. Tomorrow we'll hear about one key to staying out of prison, getting a good job. And that's what women get when they graduate from a drug program in Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Sometimes I'll have flashbacks of my past. I never want to go back to where I can never pay rent again.
That's tomorrow here on the radio. All the stories in our series are online at PRI.org and on our Across Women's Lives Facebook page. Just look for Across Women's Lives.